Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, your favorite social distanced quarantine selfie taking author, an awesome dude, John Wayne. That's right, here I am, back again, where I have remained sheltered in place against all virus and evil attack. The other evil that I don't like. Here in Wayne Manor, I've been and just secluded like heck in the East Wing over here in the Library of Evil, just working away, doing stuff diligently, trying to find a way around this awful time that seems to be usurping all joy from almost everything that I hold dear. But that's okay. We're gonna get through this. Yeah, here I am. I don't worry about this case though. I have a fine heaping bowl of Grandpappy's medicine. Actually, my second helping of the day. But I just got a very, very generous delivery from somebody and Grandpappy himself possibly. And I'm set. I'll be set for at least another, like, 9 days, we'll say. And after that, who knows. But, got that. Very good. I got some coffee here. And, Topo Chico. But let me, actually, well, you know, to talk about coffee, I want to start the show. I got to give a very huge, huge, amazing thank you and shout out to, Alicia and Chris Stamps. Of my very good friends that I've met on the road, some that have become very dear to me. Excuse me, get choked up. Very dear to me. I love them very much. And they actually last year had surprised, just showed up in Atlanta to surprise me and myself and David Barbie while we were there doing readings and shit. And, you know, it was awesome. And they were going to actually do that again this year and surprise Christopher Chiana and I in Wisconsin at Scares That Care, but as we all know, that got canceled, so, you know, that couldn't happen, but so she spilled the beans about that to me. But to get back on more on track with that, you know, I mentioned my coffee. I'm currently drinking it out of a different mug than usual. I usually do, and that is because I started off this week, Mondays, am I right, by breaking my drink coffee Hail Satan mug that I've had for a very long time. And I was just, and I use it all the time. I drink coffee all day. Like I was gonna say my doctor, but I guess she is a doctor. You know, my psychiatrist said that I need to stop drinking so much coffee, but what do they know, right? Anyway, I drink a lot of coffee. I use that mug pretty exclusively, when I'm here at the mansion and in the Library of Evil working away. And I was washing it, and it slipped out, like it did like a weird flip out of my hand and hit the bottom of the sink. And our sink's like marble or whatever the fuck it is. Granite. Yeah, that's what it is. And so as soon as it hit that, it was like, dink. Like it took a big, like, chunk off of the lip of the cup, where it's just like, oh. But what was worse was that it had cracked from the chunk that had broken off all the way down to the base and basically was useless. You know, so I was like, fuck, man, that sucks, dude. I was like, you know, kind of like, not a big deal, but you know, you're already like, can I just get through the fucking, can I just use my coffee mug that I like today? You know, I have to, you know, everything else is done. I can't do anything else. Now I can't even drink my, you know, it's one of those type of things. But I made a funny post about it on Twitter after it happened, just you know, kind of to be silly about it. I said, the worst has happened. I've broken my drink coffee Hail Satan mug. I'll be in the East Wing in seclusion if anybody needs me, which is a nod to the Big Lebowski and, of course, to the East Wing here of Wayne Manor, where the Library of Evil is. Maybe a couple hours later, like, I get a message from Chris and Alicia that they have bought me a new Drink Coffee Hail Satan mug, and it is currently on its way to my house here to the Wayne Manor. I've alerted the guards and the dogs at the gates to let me know as soon as it arrives. But yeah, I mean, they're like, hey, here we go. You know, we everybody could use a little love right now. And I was like, oh my God, I was so touched by that. It was such a nice gesture, small gesture, but, you know, really meant a lot to me. And really just even in the time, just something like that to kind of like, yeah, okay, we got, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. So thank you, Chris and Alicia. You guys rule. You know, Alicia's you're an awesome person. You are an A-1 editor. I'm not going to put it out there. Maybe follow her at Alicia Stamps on Twitter and maybe inquire about her editing skills if she's doing it freelance or if she's just exclusively locked up in a deal. But she is an excellent, excellent editor and a very well, she reads like crazy, 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 crazy. She reads so fast and so much. She's amazing. And Chris, awesome dude, always there. We thought the building was burning down at Scares That Care the first time I met them. And this man, he runs up, pushing people down. I gotta go. He's running up, back up the stairs, like into the fire. Like, what is he going to save a baby? No, he's going to save his wife's books. He just wrecks them all into the suitcase, zips it up, and races back downstairs with this huge suitcase full of her books. So that's the kind of badass people we're dealing with here. So thank you guys so much, and that means a lot to me. And as soon as I get it, I will be drinking coffee from it, and I'll take a picture and all that good stuff as well. So thanks to those. That was a good way to start this week of continued quarantine. More and more things getting canceled. I did confirm. I talked. You know, if you listen to the Patreon episode where I talked to Wesley Southard last week. We talked about the Full Moon Convention being canceled. Yes, turns out it is canceled indeed. So that was all of my April is completely gone. But so it goes, you know. So it goes. So that's why things like just that little gesture was so meaningful. But we started off the week breaking the mug. Breaking the law, and just kind of like on a down note, I guess, because it was just like, man, there's another fucking week. Like, what are we, what's happening? Like, when, you know, there's so much going on with this, and you don't know, you know, what to believe necessarily. So much news articles, so many different things. And I'm not turning this into like the fucking COVID-19 podcast, don't worry. But it's just the fact of being trapped again is maddening. It's kind of like, honestly, been a mental exercise, like a very mental workout for myself to not let myself start to dwell on some of this sometimes, because I really like had all this stuff scheduled, super excited to do it, like so fucking raring to go. And they just like watching them drop one at a time at a time. And it's like, man, this is, you know, I feel useless. You know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And now I can't do it from here. You know, it's, there's ways you can do it. I know. And I'm thinking of ways, but that's just kind of been, where my mind has been lately, in this. I'm sure we can relate to some kind of insanity, upon ourselves that we've either delivered. Oh, speaking of insanity, I guess we'll just, let me just keep going down the lake. First of all, I'm getting ahead of myself. I do want to give crazy shout outs to all of my Patreon supporters, my subscribers to my Patreon page. If you'd like to check that out, go to patreon.com/JohnWayneIsDead. I have a lot of cool things on all the tiers that I have, but any tier that you subscribe to gets you access to the other weekly podcast I do called the Awesome Dude for Life Boner Bonus Podcast. Excuse me. And that is where I talk to my friends and the people, the artists that I've met on the road. And as I've mentioned last week, what's been a very kind of like bastion of hope or beacon of hope off in the distance is that I've been doing these Skype podcasts with these people since I can't be seeing, you know, we're supposed to be hanging out, you know, but now I'm doing them on Skype. So it's actually, I've been doing quite a few of them, and it's not only cool that, you know, yeah, it's, you know, I'm able to do this for that podcast, but it's also very, very like uplifting and just a touch base with, you know, these people who, you know, you care about very much and, you know, miss terribly and can't, you know, supposed to be see. It's all that. It's helped me a lot with that, I'll say. And I've gotten, I got some good podcasts coming up. So, you know, like last week, I dropped a little nugget in that episode. I will do the same this week, a little bit later on from the upcoming Patreon podcast. But I've got, just to let you know, I've got a lot of very cool interview conversations. They're all over an hour long of me and talking to these people. You heard Wesley Southard last week, horror author. This week, you will hear Max Booth III, also excellent horror author, runs Perpetual Motion Machine Press. I talked to C.V. Hunt and Anderson Prunty, a.k.a. Carrie and Andy, of Grindhouse Press and Oddle Press. We talked about the 10-year anniversary of Grindhouse, and that's going to drop, as the kids say, on that weekend when we all should have been together celebrating at the 10-year anniversary. I talked to Lucas Mangum. I talked to Danger Slater, folks. That's right. And the hits keep coming. So, you know, if you want to jump on my Patreon and hear that podcast as well, plus all the other episodes that are on there, you get full access to them. And now would be a great time. And if you just want to drop a one-time donation, that you can do that over there. Help old Uncle Johnny out a little bit. Patreon.com/JohnWayneIsDead. So, thank you. So, like I said, I'll put a little snippet of Max Booth III later on in the episode. But I did start doing some more of those interviews this week. So that kind of sparked my memory. I talked to now my mind's all fucked. I think I talked to Carrie and Andy this week. I talked to Lucas yesterday, Lucas Mangum. Yeah, it's very fucking awesome. So that's been cool. I broke my mug. That sucked. And then I basically have just been writing a bunch, like on this work in progress that I've got going. I've had a lot of cool ideas lately. I can say that for sure, at least. And so I find like that I'm having some pretty good writing sessions. But, you know, other than that, it's just been the same thing, except for on, you know, there's a lot of people doing stuff. They're trying things, and I applaud everybody that's doing things like the streaming stuff, live things, like streaming sales and stuff like that. Like, shouts out to Kira and Ashley Hansia Co. Their crystals that they make, metaphysical healing jewelry crystals, they did a sale. Shouts out 13x Studios, Rick and Dawn, they also did one. Lots of cool things that have been going on. And you know, there was some a group of you know, performers and artists here in Houston that put together a 24-hour stream that went up last week, I believe on Wednesday it was, if I'm not mistaken. But so, you know, they invited me to, I wasn't really paying it that much attention to Facebook. And Chris Jett, shouts out, the other half of John Winstead, texted me and was like, hey, they're doing, you know, explained it to me. They're doing this thing, where you can sign up for 30-minute blocks and stream what you're doing. You know, they have the links up on the screen while you're doing it that, you know, people can donate directly to your PayPal or Venmo or whatever. And, you know, they're trying to help everyone out. And I was like, that's cool. So I ended up, he's like, yeah, my, you know, this is who's doing the booking, email him. So I did that. And, you know, I get set up for a time slot and everything. And I'm like, all right, cool. Got 30 minutes. And I'm trying to think, first I was like, I'm just going to do a reading, I think. But then I was like, well, I don't want to waste all that time. I want to do something else. So I was like, I'll play some songs too, you know, that'll be cool. And, you know, I get it set up. I have to go through, like, you know, this, I have to set up a Twitch channel, which I now have, so check that out, the John Wayne is Dead Twitch channel. And I didn't have one of those before, and what they were going to do was stream me. They were going to, you know, host my feed through theirs, and then, you know, into the 24-hour thing. I don't know, but I had my setup like I always do here in the Library of Evil when I'm doing things like that or recording this very podcast. The microphone I have is, you know, I used it for everything. I use it for the Skype interview conversations. I use it for this. I've used it for just recording other sound effects and stuff that I needed or Nick and I needed. It's not an expensive mic at all. I think I said it was like $35 on Amazon, but it's a cheap condenser mic that works. It's got the connection straight to my fucking USB. It's been great. Anyway, so I check it out and I'm like, all right, sounds good. And, you know, I start streaming, I'm waiting, they're going to give me the signal when I'm on. And they're like, all right, go, you're on. So I start doing my thing. I'm doing a reading from Death Packs and Left Hand Paths because I'm doing the voices and all this crazy shit. And like my phone starts getting texts and I'm like, I put it, kind of move it out of the way. And then turns out like people were trying to get my attention to say like that the sound was glitchy or like, you know, like hiccuping or like yeah, like in and out and like shit like that. And I didn't know that because I couldn't, you know, I was just talking to the mic. I didn't have headphones or anything. And so finally, like I guess Katie comes in to the room, my wife, and you know, to the library door, and she's like, hey, something's wrong with your mic, you gotta fix it. And I was like, oh shit. And I'm like plugging it, you know, is it plugged in right? So I finished the whole reading with that mic. So that was basically like 13 minutes of really glitchy audio, I guess. And I was also like watching, I don't know if, I'm not super familiar with Twitch, so I wasn't quite sure what numbers I was looking at or how the numbers were affected versus like if you were just streaming from their stream or the fact that they're hosting my stream into theirs, what that looks like. But it really looked like, you know, barely any, like two people were watching, I think. And right before me, like the person that went before me painted a picture, like sat at her table and just painted. And I was, you know, which is fine. But I was like, you know, fuck. In my mind, I'm looking at it, I was like, man, there's less people watching me than there were watching someone paint a fucking picture. God damn it. So they still said it was glitchy. So I unplugged this mic. I was like, fuck. I just unplugged it and I was like, hey, how does this sound? Just coming through the regular mic on my MacBook. It's like, yeah, go. So I played some songs and those went through, you know, apparently all good. Everything was fine. But it was funny that it just like, you know, of course, I was like, of course that happened. Like, you know, two people watched it. Didn't get any tips though, but you know what? That's on me. I should have definitely shown some nips, and hips and nips or we don't eat, you know? That's what I always say. And you know that I say that. So that was fun. It was fun to do and it was fun to be a part of. I'm glad, you know, Chris brought it up to me. Otherwise, I wouldn't even snapped to what was going on. But it was fun, and you know, it was an interesting way around it. And maybe I know there was technical issues also with the stream several times because they went 24 hours. They really did a great job. But you know, but it's stuff like that I'm like, all right, you know, I gotta try some other things. I gotta figure it out, you know. But I gotta think. I don't know. I want to approach things with like a clear intent and kind of have some, know what I'm doing behind it and maybe some shit backed up. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking about, honestly. But so here I am. You know, actually did have some contact last night. Not sure if we're supposed to or not. Couple buddies came over. That was very fun. Got to have some beers, couple laughs, and And that's been it, you know, other than that, talking to, getting to talk to people on Skype and writing a bunch, you know, there's nothing else to do. My dogs have been walked thoroughly every day. They are now demanding at a certain time. It seems almost earlier and earlier every day, they're demanding that we go on this walk. And by demand, I mean, they cry at my feet until we go. So it's just like, okay, let's just go. I know it's time to go. We go, and it's actually very nice to walk around my neighborhood that early in the morning every day now. But, you know, that's it. Just walk around the neighborhood. I can't even, like, go get coffee because it's not open. I can't, you know, there's, it's just, oh, well, could be worse, right? We could all be on fire screaming naked into the void or something. Anyway, speaking of screaming naked into the void, like I mentioned earlier, I've been doing these interview conversation podcasts for my Patreon, and I'm going to drop a little piece of the conversation I had with the great and powerful Max Booth III right here for you to check out. Max is very fucking funny. He's a super talented writer and is one of the bad boys of indie lit, along with myself and Lucas Mangum. And, you know, he's a man of many, many hats and mysteries. So here we go. Let's check out Max. So I like to say, like, our origin story, I would say, we didn't meet IRL or in real life, as the kids say. I like to say that, as the kids say it. Until KillerCon 2 years ago, right? Is that when we first met in real life?
Maybe. It might have been at something Andrew did, too.
Oh, that's right. Never mind. It was at Andrew's reading at his house. That
yes,
was
his
before.
Living but Mike, room.
Michael out in Austin, and Michael Allen Rose, shouts out Michael, was with me because he was. Why was he here? Oh, he and Saldo were here, right? Weren't they on vacation and shit?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
They had driven down on vacation. What a time, dude. Okay, so that was our first time to meet in real life. But then at the convention in KillerCon, we got closer. I do remember at the very end of that convention going like, wait, where's Max? Where'd Max go? And somebody's like, he's over there. And you were like getting into your car. You just loaded up the fucking Suburban or whatever. And I ran across the parking lot to give you a big hug. I remember that. And then we really got pretty tight at the second KillerCon. And then when Wizard World... this past time, which I've spoken of fondly and fondling. As we know, we've got such greats as the Predator guy came from there. Batman came from there. Everyone's Batman came from there.
We kidnapped the guy from Freaks and Geeks.
That's right.
That was great. Yeah.
Almost. I tried. What a nerd. But anyway, man, so we kind of been bouncing around. That's how we've gotten to know each other. And you know, since I have done several shows with you up there in Austin, you live in San Antonio, so you're a fellow Texan with me, you know, Lone Star Pride or whatever we want to say, but, anyway, I feel like I'm just talking you up. Anyway, yeah, that's how we got to know each other. It just seems like, we've been old friends for, forever.
Yeah.
Or for, you know. As we have been
until this podcast, it might change.
Oh, are we gonna change our relationship status so like it's complicated after this podcast?
I was thinking clothing. I don't know.
Oh,
think about all the pastimes you just mentioned: vacation, convention, hugging, all in the past. Now we live in a new time, my friend. Yeah. Soon enough, we won't even be able to do a podcast.
Oh.
Because we'll all be dead.
Yeah, I can't wait. Should this be a parable that we write or tell our, you know, not our kids, but just like other people's kids or something, you know? Remember, there used to be a vacation. People used to get on giant boats, big as a skyscraper, laying on its side, and they would float all around and live together for a month. Why, Daddy? Why did they do that? Well, that was before this happened. Which cruises are fucking weird anyway. I have strong opinions about that.
I've been on one cruise. It was something.
Did I talk to you about my cruise
thing?
Oh,
go right ahead. Tell me.
I watched a lot of cruise disaster footage, first of all, just because I went down a YouTube hole one day, and then I kept going back to that hole like again and again. You know what I mean? Hell yeah, bad boys. but to see like a cruise ship, they're so fucking big. Like they really are like a skyscraper turned on its side. I was in Galveston for my bachelor party, my second bachelor party for this most recent marriage, and we were down there where went to this bar by one of the, where the, you know, the cruise ships dock there in Galveston, which is here on the coast, and you know it's in the Gulf of Mexico here. If you're not familiar with Texas, and it really looked so fucking big, dude. It looked fucking huge, and I was like, then you see this fucking far off shot of one of those huge ass things being tossed into the air by waves, and you're like, what the fuck, dude? We shouldn't. I don't want to get too, I don't know how much we want to get into this, because this could get into the shark territory, and we're going to talk about that on your podcast here.
Good point.
This one. So anyway, but you know what, if you're on one of those crew, you know, you kind of have it coming, you know, you have it coming. Should sail you off to this edge of the flat earth, and you know, and then you'll never come back and haunt us with this virus again.
That's interesting. Do you think the planet is flat?
I don't, but I think that these people that are on cruises probably do, and then they would just accept it.
How do you know it's not flat? What evidence
do you have? Oh, no.
Listen, oh, no. I want to recommend a podcast.
Max Booth Jones.
You know him.
Oh, no.
Oh man. So fucking what's going on, dude? It's good. It's good to see your face. It's good to talk to you. We've been texting back and forth and shit lately, but
yeah, you've sent me some questionable photographs lately. I don't know what I'm looking at in some of these images you've sent. Do you want to explain what it is you've sent me?
Well, what are your questions? It's pretty straightforward. My dick is one of them.
How did someone draw the face? Is that just how it is?
Oh no, dude! I that's a GIF that I downloaded. It's called Dick Face. It makes you, you know how those things are like, oh, look at me when I'm old, or look at me when I'm a, you know, a woman or a man or whatever. It's like, look at my dick with a face on it. It's one of those things.
Look at
I thought
me
you
when
knew
I'm a
that.
Face.
I thought,
gotcha.
Yeah, I thought you had that too. My bad. I should have hashtagged you on that one.
Have you just been in the house the whole time? Have you been going out and just having fun, socializing? What's been going on?
No, man, everything's fucking canceled, first of all, which is like the fucking goddamn bullshit. But my I was saying the other day, quarantine life is really no different than my life has been for the past like few months since November.
Yeah.
But the thing that really like sticks it in and breaks it off is, you know, I don't have the option to go somewhere. I may not want to go somewhere, but having not the option taken away to not be able to do anything. I mean, there's shows I want to go to, you know, comedy. I can't go see comedy. I can't go do anything at night because it's all canceled. And maybe I'd be happy to sit at home one of those nights anyway, but having the option taken away really fucking sucks.
It's that whole punk rock mindset. It's like, I'm not going to go outside. Oh, what? You told me I can't go outside, but now I want to.
You got it, buddy. That's how I live my life, dude. Have you been talking to my therapist?
Yeah, I saw the photographs.
Oh, did she forward some photographs to you too? We have brought you up in the last few sessions, I guess. I should tell you.
I assumed that photograph of your penis with a white lab coat was just who your therapist is.
Well, that's also an app. It's called Dick Therapist. You know, Dick My Therapist, and it turns your therapist into a dick, and then you send the picture. It's new. I'm one of the beta testers. But
how many dick related apps do you have exactly?
Wow. Well, let me see. I should probably start with how many I don't have. Let's see. Does a text message count as an app?
No, that's the only. Yeah, I guess it does.
Dude, aside from being an awesome dude for life and a bad boy of indie lit, you run a small press.
I do.
Can you tell the people that are my Patreon fine people a little bit about Perpetual Motion Machine?
Yeah, Pulpitual Motion Machine is a way too long of a name, so I'll begin with that.
I like it. But plus it's PPM on the insignia, and that's cool.
Yeah, right? PMMP.
That's
kind of
what it is.
It looks PMMP. Like it says pimp. So most people, they see it and they go, wait a minute, why does this say pimp? And then I have to, you know, slap them with a cane. So that
you
helps.
Slap them with a cane?
Yeah.
Does the cane have like a hand on it that's like in this ready to slap like type thing?
Yeah. It's one of those, you slap someone with it and the hand just kind of moves left and right like a excited dog's tail. So
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, what do you want to know about the press? I mean, we publish books, good books, sometimes bad books, sometimes okay books. I run it with my wife, Lily Michelle, who's around the house. Shut up. How many times a day do you say that?
Let's start with how many times I don't say it a day. Let's see. I don't know. It's just a condition. It's probably... It's just one of those things I'll say, like, when people, you know, it's not funny anymore, dude. And I'll be like, that's all right. It'll be funny one day again. And I'll be there right there when it is. But
he was right the whole time. The prophet has spoken.
The whole time. All right. So there you go. Max Booth the Third. I love that guy to death. Very cool. Very cool, dude. After that, if you want to hear the whole episode that whole podcast, just go over to the patreon.com/johnwayneisdead, and any tier gets you access to that episode and all of the ones that I've already done and the ones that'll come in the future, as long as you're a member, and I truly, truly appreciate it. Also, after that podcast, right after we recorded our the Awesome Dude for Life podcast, we stayed on the horn there, as if you will, and recorded an episode of Max's podcast called Ghoulish. And that came out this week. I posted it, but you can check that out and check out his podcast as well. He talks to people in horror about what really scares them. And so we had a very fun discussion about sharks, as I think I even mentioned on the last episode that I was scared of sharks or something like that. But we had a really good episode about it. It was very funny, of course, and fun. So check that out. Speaking of checking it out, I think we're going to check out our... 3-card tarot reading for the week. As you know or do not know, I do a 3-card reading on myself every week before the show, and I kind of write down my thoughts, the things that are going through my head, what I'm dealing with at the time, and then kind of get a different perspective or reevaluate those thoughts through the prism of these cards. And it's pretty fun. I do it every week here, yes, on the podcast, but I also do a card of the day reading every day on my Instagram, which is @JohnWayneIsDead. It's on my story every morning, and then it immediately goes to my YouTube channel, the John Wayne is Dead YouTube channel. And so if you are into that, you can get more of me doing it at those places. And I have a lot of people that interact with me on that. It's very fun. It's been a cool thing. I'm glad I'm doing it. I'm glad I did decide to do those cards of the day. It's mainly just started for me to get better at tarot and learn the things better and the cards better and develop a better like understanding so I could apply my own, you know, kind of takes on things. But it's turning into like a little, you know, discussion sometimes between some people, and it's very fun and I like it. So thank you. So this week, you know, my thoughts that I wrote down were staying positively minded, which is usually not no big deal, but you know, I'm not going to lie. It's, you know, it's been a challenge lately, just especially with everything just being canceled, but you know, I'm managing it. Momentum, of course, like that's a big thing. You know, the momentum is what you make it, I guess. You know, that's why I'm trying to think of different ways. You know, the momentum is halted in a sense of the, you know, cons, you know, I'm not present on the road anymore, but the thing is nobody else is either. So it's kind of like how do you keep the momentum going now and make it stand out? So you know, keep that going. It's just something I'm thinking about, drive, keeping that drive going, problem solving, which again has been on my mind because, you know, I want to problem solve how to keep my momentum going and how to, you know, put some, you know, I don't know, butts in seats as digitally, and planning, because, you know, I want to make sure that I want to put together a good plan now and then have plans right once I'm able to go back on the road, be very ready to go and have a plan, backup plan, plan C, abortion pill, whichever plan that one is. I got them all. I'm going to have all those pills and plans ready to go. So first card I drew today, the Five of Swords reversed. So the Five of Swords reversed. Five of Cups reversed. This is a card of personal setbacks, self-forgiveness, though, and moving on. So this card is basically represents or suggesting that you may have suffered a setback or disappointment recently, but you're keeping the feelings to yourself. However, it's important right now to open up to those around you, and when you do that, when you share these feelings, then you come to realize that you can overcome this temporary setback. Now, let me unpack that, I guess. So suffered a setback or disappointment. Well, I think right at this moment, we can all probably relate to that in some way or another. But yes, like I was just saying, this is a big setback. How do I do this? But, you know, you're maybe not talking about it. You're trying to, like, for myself, just to, like, these are all me I'm talking about, you know, but trying to generalize it a little bit. But for myself, just, it's like keeping the feelings to yourself. I've been doing that in a way where I'm like, well, I just don't want to talk about being bummed because then I'll be bummed about it. I just want to, you know, kind of put that out of my mind. But I think that half and half, I'm putting, just tamping some of it down and letting some of it go. Whereas I should just be talking about, you know, which I you know, talked to my wife yesterday a little bit, and I came to that realization. But also, like, you know, open up to where it says open up to those around you. I put the I wrote a personal note, peers who relate, like these conversations with Skype, over Skype with like Lucas. Like, I had a great conversation with Lucas Mangum yesterday, and like I said, it's not just for, yes, it would be on the podcast, but it is so much more than that, especially right now. So, you know, there may be people around you who can relate to the setback that, you know, either you're personally suffering or we are all suffering in some way. And, you know, it's fine to talk about it. We shouldn't keep our disappointments to ourselves, but just watch that fine line between talking about your feelings versus just bitching about shit, because that's, you know, bitch sessions, they're just not productive. If you can do something about it, you should use that bitch session energy to do it. Or if you can't, then it's negative energy, use waste of an energy. Just, you know, do something else. So just, you know, watch that. I think we can talk about it because you do realize, because you can talk to each other and be like, you know what? I didn't think about it that way. Oh, you know, you know, you could see a whole different way where you're like, oh, we are going to be all right. Or I can't see how we can do that. Something, I don't know. You might be blaming yourself for this failure. And this card is saying, like, but it's just time to get over it. Look at what happened. Know that you did your best. Forgive yourself. Take the lesson learned and grow from it. Which, you know, as I talked about, I think last week or something, we're talking about growing and, you know, the failures that we encounter are of necessity because that's how we learn and grow and get better. So that's kind of like, this is saying like, okay, this is one of those things, dude. So stop blaming yourself. There's nothing you can do about this. You gotta, you know, figure it out, you know, let it go. And that's what you need sometimes. And sometimes you need that tough love of this. Hey man, fucking stop crying and do it. You know, I don't know. You're realizing that the lessons you've learned, like this in the past, like things you've learned like from this, and you've come to appreciate these setbacks that you thought. Sorry, I can't even read my own handwriting. We don't edit here. This is live. Not really. Not live. But okay. Sorry. Grandpappy's medicine is good. You're kick. Okay, you're realizing that the lessons you've learned in the past, and you've come to appreciate the setbacks they taught you. Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's kind of like what I was saying. You know, talking to somebody or even trying to take a different approach to it, you might recall something like, you know what, this isn't as bad as one, two, three that I went through, you know, 2 years ago. I can get through this. You know, I remember, you know what I did to make a couple bucks? I did whatever. And you remember those lessons and you're like, oh yeah, I got this. Sometimes we forget that. We forget that past growth and we just kind of need to go back to that foundation. Like that one card, I think it's the Six of Swords I like so much, but we don't have that card today. So this is another, I wrote this down because I was kind of just saying this, but it's important. You can't change the past. Let go of what no longer serves you emotionally and, you know, open yourself up to getting out there again or taking a risk in some other way. You can't change the past. Like I said, it's a waste of energy to lament over things like that. It's done. You know, go through the emotions you need to go through, however you need to go through that, I think. And then you got to take the loss or take the L, if that is even what people say these days anymore, and grow and learn and just, all right, next time, this is not going to happen next time. And you're going to know why it won't happen next time. Next card I got, Two of Cups. So this is a card of a unified love, partnerships, and mutual attraction. So this card is representing like there's a flow of love between two people right now, or possibly with you or somebody, whatever, creating deep connections with potential to grow into something deeply fulfilling and rewarding. Together, you can reach higher planes of consciousness and understanding. So while this is a card that's kind of, it is predominantly geared at romantic relationship, couple-wise, it's not exclusively that, because this is also, you know, it goes on to say, you know, this is, if you're entering in a partnership with a lover, a friend, or a business partner, you know, you're both focusing on it being mutually beneficial right now, and you appreciate each other for that. So it could be, you know, like the things that I'm trying to figure out. Maybe I find somebody can give me advice. One of my peers I get on the horn with, and we figure out an idea and partner up on it and go at it together. You know, these are the kind of things that happen too. It's not just like, will he call me? Won't he call me? What's happening? It's not like that. So, you're also in a relationship, this could be a relationship where the exchange of emotions is heartfelt. You're both willing to do what it takes to support each other. So that's important in a romantic relationship as well as business and friendship, those kind of things, of course. You're on the same wavelength. You have a similar vision to create that you want to create for each other. You each have different skills, but you are equally valuable, and you communicate always focusing on your shared alignment. So that was a lot of notes I took on that. But the long and short of it is, you know, the person or persons in this partnership you're with in whatever fashion it exists, it feels right because it is right. Because, no, you're all on the same wavelength. You share this vision, and it's that which is, you know, of course, giving you a lot of energy between you. And you want to create that vision for not only yourself, but each other shared. And, you know, while you're all going to be adding different things to it, doing it different ways, you know, you're going to do it. Keep that communication going always. That's just something that anytime communication is mentioned, I kind of hammer it home, because it's a necessity for all relationships, I feel. Last card, King of Pentacles. This is one of my favorite cards because I really like what it represents. This is a card of wealth, business, leadership, security, discipline, and abundance. Now, I know that sounds like, I'm into wealth. No, I like the way that the wealth, the way that you are to go about gaining this wealth. Listen, material wealth and abundance, you're a worldly success. You use your ambition and confidence to create wealth. So what that means is you go get it. You don't wait. You're not waiting on anything. You're not looking for shortcuts. You go do it. You do the work. And this is also alluding to, you use your talents. You make this happen through the talents that you have, whatever they may be, whether it is writing or it is visual art, or maybe your talent is, you're just a very good conversationalist and you get the job because that's what's needed there. Whatever it is, dude, you're using that talent to create this wealth for yourself, or this success, whatever you want to say. You're also, because of this, you're there to provide others with guidance and wisdom from what you've learned here, if they're willing, to take that advice from you. You're confident and successful in attracting wealth for yourself and managing it and investing it wisely for the long term. Well, we can all hope that for that, can we? But, again, confident and successful in attracting wealth for yourself. Again, that is talking about your talents, your on your terms, whatever, you're making this happen. This is not, you're not passive in this. You're not just a part of a link in a chain that you're tapping away at keys and you get, I get paid. No, you are going out and doing what you do best to make it happen for yourself. Some of you're able to translate your vision into something tangible. You work hard, you map out your plans, you gather the resources and manifest the goals. And you know that when you apply yourself to your vision, you create huge success. So that's like, that's again, learning from a fail, you learn from a win as well. At least you should, you learn, okay, what made that successful? Because I made sure I had all the shit I needed before I started, or I made sure that when I got to point B, I was going to have the thing I needed for that. And then point C, it was lined up that, that kind of thing. You see that works. You've seen yourself or others close to you turn those visions into success through those steps and through applying that. And that's, that's meaningful to you right now. You're doing it. A methodical, well thought out plan will lead to success. So continue with these methods and practices right now. One other cool thing about the King of Pentacles that also kind of ties up the talent thing and the hard working thing is, all over the tunic that he's wearing or gowns or robe, whatever the fuck he's wearing, are grapes. I've talked about this before. Bunches of grapes are on a few of the cards in the deck, but what they represent is hard work, like earning your living through. It represents that you're a hard worker who uses your talent or skill to provide for yourself, because I guess owning a vineyard or growing grapes is a very hard thing to do, and I guess requires a lot of attention and knowledge around it. And so, people that do that are working every day and getting their hands dirty and are hard workers to get what they want and deserve. And so I always think I always like that when that comes up in a reading. I like to think like, yeah, man, I'm trying to be a great farmer of my writing, keep working hard, and I'm not afraid to work hard and get those grapes for you. And then maybe you send some money my way or something. I don't know. Grapes are cool. Don't feed them to your dogs, though. But that's our reading for this week. So thank you. I got something out of that. I hope you did as well. If you want to participate in some more readings with me, like I said, I do a card of the day daily reading on my Instagram at John Wayne is Dead. And it also goes right to my YouTube page where you can catch up on the whole week or see what all the cards for the whole week looked like and all that fun stuff. So without further ado, I think we'll move into our not going to work here anymore. No, to the story portion of the day. you know, I've say this a lot. You never know what's going to trigger a memory, you know, that you just totally forgot about. And so that was one of these kind of memories. And I'm not really even sure now that I remember what triggered this memory, but whatever it was important enough for me to grab my phone at the time and put it into my Google Doc of Google Keep document of all my podcast notes. Whenever I think of that's a good story, you know, I'm like, I have this running kind of list that I keep. So I put that there, and I was like, oh yeah, I know why. Like, and I totally now cannot remember what reminded me of this, but it doesn't matter. Sometimes you just never know. You know, you realize something about yourself, and you come to the realization, or you remember an event that happened that you now realize I guess I was more affected by that than I thought, in a good way, people, in a good way. And that's what this story is about. So let's call this story Rock and Roll Forever. So, this story requires a good little trip in the Wayback Machine to, I want to think I was on the cusp of maybe 5th to 6th grade on this. I might have been in middle school in there somewhere. Sorry, I bumped the table. But it's around that age. Now, when I was a kid, I've talked about being a little GP, that's giant pussy. Sorry, not sorry. But, you know, I was scared of stuff. I was, you know, shy, whatever. I didn't want to get in any trouble, you know, when I was very young. And I was just naive and whatever, you know, all those things. You know, I was, you know, I loved my mom and, you know, going to church. I actually didn't love going to church at all, but I did love my mom. And I do love my mom very much. Shouts out, mom. Number one here. You know that. I'm number one, and that's what she calls me, because that's what I am. So, anyway, shouts out, mom. But, you know, I was just, you have to go through a lot to become an awesome dude for life, you know? I don't have to tell you guys that. And this is just one of those things. This is like one of the, you know, trips around the rock tumbler that, you know, smooths out all your edges so you come out like crystal, you know, like Crystal Gale with beautiful hair, beautiful long hair, you know? And a wonderful voice, if you ask me. But nobody did. So I would go out and play in my neighborhood. We lived in, you know, a suburb in Spring, Texas, which is, you know, it's a suburb north of Houston, like a small township north of Houston. And, you know, and I just played with, you know, kids on the block. And, you know, the time you spent, at least for me, with the kids on your block was the proximity of their house to yours. You know, the closer you are, you spent more time with them, you know, like my neighbors, next door neighbors, you know, that I got into a fight with and all that. I've told this story, you know, spent way more time with them than, you know, the kids that lived, you know, down a block from, you know, still on the same street, but just a block down on that side of the street. Like, you had to cross a road to get to their side, you know, not a busy road, just like the fucking neighborhood road. Who cares? But it just, I noticed like that, at least it was like that for me. But I did get around, if you will, and, you know, make friends with everybody. You know, I don't know if kids do that anymore, like know all the kids on their block and around their blocks and stuff. I'm not sure. Maybe they do. Who knows? But I did. And there was a dude that lived like way down the street from me. And I think, I want to say his name is Andy, or was, or not, but we're going to call him Andy. And this kid was pretty cool in that he was a skater and he could skate very well, like skateboarder. He could do ollies and, you know, all this kind of shit. He had like a real skateboard, whereas I had like a Walmart skateboard that it's just a piece of fucking plywood with some wheels on it that don't spin, you know, just, and so, you know, you kind of like are like, oh, that guy's cool. And you know, but I didn't skate, you know, he had skater friends, but we still would hang out from time to time. He was, you know, he's a cool dude. We were friends. And one afternoon that turned into a night, we were hanging out And he had a cousin that came over, or it was either a cousin or a young uncle, which, you know, that happens all the time. And I mean, probably like, he was probably 19, maybe 20, maybe. You know, as a kid then, you look at someone that's older than you, and there's the perspective is all thrown off, because you're like, 30 years old is old, you know, you don't know. So I'm guessing he's around that age. And, you know, also, this guy, Andy, being a cool skater, he also listened to cool music, way cooler music than I did at the time, because I didn't know anything about anything. And his cousin listened to, like, metal. Like, this guy comes over, or his uncle, or whatever. He's, like, long hair, long hair, leather jacket, cool dude, right? And, you know, obviously, you know, my friend is enamored with this member of his family, as one would be. And we're just hanging out and all, just chilling. And I think like his parents left, so we were left with a cousin or uncle guy, which was fine. There's nothing creepy here about this. But he was like, yeah, I'll hang out with these guys. So we're just hanging out and like talking, and he's telling us stories about shit, and like he's smoking cigarettes, going outside to smoke cigarettes. He's probably also smoking weed. I just didn't know what that was at the time, or what it's, you know, and he was not doing it in front of us, but for the purposes of the story, I'm going to say was. And I don't, you know, we're talking, this guy, I'm becoming enamored with this, you know, leather jacketed, cladded, you know, rock dude, you know, and he listens to metal. And so he's like asking us about all these metal bands and shit. And back then I didn't know shit from anything. I was probably scared of it. If I saw it or heard it, you know, back then, you know, this is like fifth grade. I was definitely a GP then. And we get on this thing where he's like, hey, let's go to Sonic. I'll take you guys to Sonic. And we're like, oh, okay, cool. And, you know, Sonic, I'm sure everyone knows what Sonic is. You go, we're going to go get like, you know, what are those drinks that everyone gets? Those slushy drinks, whatever they're called. Slushies, I think. So it's close. You know, it's not like far away. It's out the neighborhood down the road a little bit. So we get in his car, and he has a, I don't know what, maybe like back then an old Oldsmobile, like a four-door older model, like kind of car. And I remember we got in there, and just, you know, this is what I'm used to in my family. Get in the car, which is an Astro minivan, all of us, usually listen to nothing because, you know, maybe my dad has told us all to shut up. We'll help him God. He's going to turn this van around. Or, you know, if my mom's in the car, we're listening to KSBJ or nothing. And we damn sure we're not listening to it loud. You better believe me. There was no loudness of like, let's rock out to this song, guys. Not even for the Lord in those days. So, you know, that's where I was coming from, right? Windows up, AC on. That's my life, right? You didn't get, you weren't able to roll. If you wanted to roll the window down, first of all, you really couldn't because it was an Astro van. The windows only popped out a little bit. Or if you were in the front seat and you wanted to, too bad. You can't. That was just it. Here we are in this guy's car. He's driving. All four windows are down all the way. And it is like immediately, like from a movie, like he turns out the ignition and the stereo just in the middle of a like heavy metal song just bah, like blares on, like just startles us and shit. And I'm thinking like, whoa, he's gonna turn it down, but he doesn't. I'm pretty sure he turned it up. And then he like pulls out of the driveway and he's fucking rock whatever we were listening to. He was singing it, and like I said, I didn't know, I wasn't familiar with that kind of stuff then, but kind of see where this is going. So he is just blaring this music, singing at the fucking top of his lungs. Andy's in the front. I'm in the back seat by myself. My buddy, you know, is in the front seat with him, and he's kind of like bobbing his head and shit, trying to be cool. And this guy is ripping down the fucking road like super fast. You know, my mom, God bless, mom, yeah, you know how you drive. You drive very slow and cautiously. And for that, you have a perfect driving record, and I commend you. But this guy wasn't looking for the perfect record here. He was trying to make a land speed record, I think, because, you know, so here I am, just being, my senses are being inundated with all these things. I'm, the windows are down, so this rush of air is coming at me that I'm not used to. I feel like I'm on like a roller coaster. I don't have a seatbelt. What's that? Also, this music is just like super loud, but he had a good system, so it sounded great. And this is the music that I was supposed to think was, you know, this is bad. Like, this is supposed to be bad. I shouldn't be doing this initially. But then as it started, it was like the faster he got, the more those kind of like thoughts and inhibitions were kind of like being left behind in the speed of us down the, you know, down Aldine Westfield to the Sonic, like a mile away. But it was cool. And we probably weren't, I mean, everything, it feels fast when you have the windows down anyway. Were we going faster than 45 miles per hour? Yes, probably. But it wasn't like we were doing 90, you know, he was probably going 52 or something. And it just felt so awesome. But I was like, oh my God. And then so we got our slushies, and the whole way home, he did that. And I think we asked him if he would like go the long way or something so we could jam out some more. And he did. And it was cool. It was like, wow, that experience stuck with me clearly, or I was like, it was just one of the kind of realizations or whatever you come to, or just maybe me in my journey, where, you know, your brain kind of gets unlocked in those things. You're like, oh, okay, I see, you can do this. People can be this, or this isn't bad, or whatever, however it kind of like, or it just opens your brain a little bit more to be receptive in some way, positive way. And whatever happened, that's what it did for me, because, you know, as you know, I am a pretty awesome dude. I have a leather jacket. I have two of them, actually. I rock out. I listen to music loud, and the windows are down. Well, not as often as I'd like in Houston here, in where Wayne Manor is located. It's very hot most of the time, so you do want that AC on. But no, I you know, it was fucking awesome. And you know, here's this guy. This is like this is like what you want to be. Kind of like you look at this as a kid, and you're like, man, this guy's smoking cigarettes. He's got the fucking, I bet he gets so many girls that listen to this music super loud with him, and you get all of that stuff. And you don't realize the impressions that, you know, those kind of things leave on you sometimes until you really sit down and think about it. So I wonder if I didn't go get the slushy? I wonder how much longer it would have taken me, or what kind of turn my life would have taken, like a butterfly effect or something. You know, who knows? I don't even really want to think about it right now, because we're already in a bad time. You're like, well, maybe if I didn't do it, we all get like a virus in 30 years. Like, oh, yeah, never mind. But anyway, that story did make me smile and happy, because I remember how happy I was back then, sitting in the back of that car with the wind just coming at me, but the music's so loud that it blocks out the sound of the wind with all the windows down, dude, so you know it was loud. And you know what they say, if it's too loud, you're too sensitive to loud music. All right, there you go. Hey, man, I don't know what that guy's name was or where he is right now, but shouts out to you, Andy's cousin, uncle, whoever you were. What a time we had. That was great. Thank you guys for joining me for another episode of the podcast. I very much appreciate it. For more stuff, don't forget everything that I'm doing, including an ever updating set of dates where I will be on the road. All right, johnwayneisdead.com. Under the shows page, my dates are there. Also, while you're at johnwayneisdead.com, go to the shop page. All of my books are in stock right now and available, including my new book, The Cycle. It's a very witchy book. I like it a lot. It's in stock, and you can get one of those as well as all of my other books and the John Wayne is Dead records and the t-shirts. And when you order them from there, they come right from me. So I will sign them and send you extra goodies and all kinds of stuff. So also my books are available on Kindle and Amazon and easily accessible. And very fingers crossed, as at the time of this recording, it is not known yet if I did resubmit the audio for Death Packs and Left Hand Paths after my good buddy, shouts out Connor Clifton, audio engineered it for me, and hoping that it comes back with all aces, and that'll be up there. I'll let you know as soon as it is. But for now, Kindle and Amazon and johnwaynesdead.com. Don't forget to follow me at John Wayne is Dead on Instagram and Twitter, or my name, John Wayne Kamianale, on Facebook. And if you want to help me out, it would be very much appreciated. Go over to patreon.com/John Wayne is Dead and get you on that Awesome Dude for Life boner bonus podcast. So thanks, everybody. Have a good week. Be well. And I hope that next week we're laughing about all this crazy shit.